Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. Today's topic is talking about using storytelling for social change. And, you know, if you've been following the news, you probably know I'm not going to get political or get too topical here, but just to say that, you know, one of the things that has been, I think, really sort of one of the big struggles or challenges that I've noticed is the control of the narrative. So you have people, for example, in the new administration, the new presidential administration, we have people who are very much trying to control the narrative of what's going on. And then you have, you know, the other side that is trying to control the narrative as well. And, you know, my concern here in this episode really isn't about politics. It's really more about, like I said, social change and using storytelling for social change. But if you think about it, stories and narrative are really important. I saw this one time. It was really interesting. It was, and you can look on YouTube and look this up. So if you know the movie The Karate Kid, there's this really interesting, kind of funny YouTube video, and it talks about how the entire movie The Karate Kid is about a sociopath named Daniel who terrorizes an innocent boy named Johnny who's trying to get his life together. And they go through the movie, which is, if you remember the movie, it's supposed to be Daniel is getting bullied by this boy named Johnny, and he learns karate from Mr. Miyagi, and then he defeats him in the tournament at the end. But the way they take the same events and they shape the story to say that, you know, Daniel is a sociopath and he steals Johnny's girlfriend and Johnny's trying to turn his life around and, you know, he won't leave him alone and then, you know, beats him up. And when you watch that, you say to yourself, oh my gosh, you know, they took the exact same events, but they created a narrative that was exactly the opposite narrative of what we think about when we think about The Karate Kid. And likewise, you know, when you think about different things like the Keystone Pipeline or the Dakota, that's one of the things that's going on right now as of this recording, the Dakota Access. And, you know, they say there's two sides to every story. There's probably more than two sides, right? So what I want to talk about, first of all, is why should we use storytelling for social change? A couple of tips about how we would do that. And then also a little bit about how would you go about getting an audience to listen and engage with those stories. So first, let's talk about what a story is and isn't. The first thing that a story is a story is a, this is, there's a book by a guy named Bill Johnson, and he wrote a book called A Story is a Promise. And it's one of the best books I've ever seen written on storytelling. And what he says is that a story, like a joke, it offers a promise of what's going to happen, that there's going to be something at the end. So it's like if I say I'm going to tell you a joke, and then you say to me, okay, so what's the joke? And I say, why did the chicken cross the road? And you say, well, why? And I said, because he did. You're going to feel let down, right? Because that's not very funny. And in fact, not only is it not very funny, but I said to you, I'm going to tell you a joke, which implicit in that is I'm going to tell you something that's funny, that's going to make you laugh, that's going to move you. And when I didn't do that, you're going to feel let down to some degree. Likewise, when we say, I want to tell you a story, the promise of a story, according to Bill Johnson, is that there's going to be some sense of fulfillment, that by the end of this, you know, by telling you a story, at the end of the story, there's going to be some sense of movement and emotional fulfillment from listening to the story. And to the extent that we do that, audiences will feel like it was worthwhile for them to spend their time with us. To the extent we don't do that, they're going to feel cheated and let down. So stories are, by their very nature, transformational. To just tell someone events, to give someone events of your day and what happened in your day or what happened in somebody else's day, that is not a story. A story takes someone on a journey. The other way that I like it, and I've heard this, there's a film critic, I can't remember his name right now, but there's a film critic who talks about this idea that what movies do best or what films do best is perform brain surgery. that a good story is like a brain surgeon. It gets you to look at things in a different way. It shakes up your perspective on life. And that's what a good story can do. So if we think of it that way, that's where storytelling can be so powerful for social change. If it's not about telling didactic stories that force people to into a position or get people to see things your way, but rather it's a way to open up, hopefully to engage people in an entertaining way where they don't even realize what is happening, but it allows them to then look at something in an issue or cause in a different way, or to look at people in a different way. And there's something about as human beings, we just seem to be particularly wired for stories. We have a great love of stories. So when we hear stories, we're much more likely to listen, we're much more likely to engage, and we're much more likely to retain the information that we get from storytelling. So that's why storytelling is such a great way to create social change. And again, let's define what I mean by, let's define this idea of what do I mean by social change. I'm not necessarily saying that when you tell someone a story, they're going to take a direct social action. For example, if you want people to vote, go out and vote on a specific thing, storytelling certainly can help. It can help sway people one way or the other. But what I'm really interested in is this idea of how do we use stories as a vehicle to expand our consciousness and to get us to really think about things in a different way. And yes, eventually, if people think about things in a different way, that the idea is that hopefully that will lead to change in behavior as well. But we have to realize that it can take some time. So I do want to make sure to make it clear that storytelling is not an immediate, it's not necessarily an immediate one-for-one reaction. You know, I tell you a story about homeless people, and then you go out and raise money for a shelter. But maybe it gives you a little bit more empathy. The next time you see a homeless person, you see them in a different way. You look at the problem of homelessness in a different way. So it's not, like I said, it's not about getting people to take some massive action after listening to a story, but rather how do we expand people's consciousness and get them to see things in a way that they may not have before. And the other wonderful thing about storytelling is that it's a great way to get people excited and engaged, because if you can make people part of the story, if we all have stories, and if people can share their stories, then that allows them to be part of the narrative. And when people feel like they're part of something, again, it creates more engagement. It creates more of an opportunity to learn and grow. So let's go over a little bit of some of the ways in which you could do this. Let's say, for example, let's take the example of homelessness. There actually is a YouTube channel that is, you can put in the, you can put in on YouTube, you can put stories of homeless, and you'll find there's probably a couple of them actually. But some of the larger channels on YouTube have stories of the homeless. And what they do is they allow people that you would think of as maybe sort of down and out, people that you think of as maybe that we think of as not really contributing to society, or maybe just people that we don't think of at all, and get them to share their stories of where they came from, how they ended up where they are. And what it does, again, is that it gets you to look at someone and then hear their story in a way that you would not have before. So, you know, that's a great example of taking a platform like YouTube and using it for storytelling. And the nice part, the other great thing about storytelling is it doesn't really have to cost a lot of money. It doesn't, how much does it cost to go and get, you know, especially now, I mean, we can shoot video on our phones, we can shoot video on our mobile devices. It doesn't take a lot. You know, in the past, it would have taken a lot to put up videos, and professionally produced videos could cost tens of thousands of dollars in a studio. Now, all you need really is you need a smartphone and a little bit of time and thought. So one of the things I will ask you to think about is, what is the story or stories that you need to tell if you're a change maker, if you're someone who wants to create change in the world? What are the key stories that you need to tell? So, for example, for me, you know, I might need to share stories of how people are using podcasting, how people are using videos, how people are using content, right? How change makers are using content to change the world. I need to share those stories to inspire others. But what stories do you need to tell if you run an organization that's involved with mental health, for example? Do you need perhaps to tell stories of people who have overcome mental illness? And there's a wonderful podcast that I highly recommend called The Mental Illness Happy Hour with Paul Gilmartin. And I recently had an opportunity to record a podcast with Paul. And, you know, he has millions of listeners now from all over the world. And he's brought awareness to this topic of mental illness and the importance of addressing it and of getting help. So what are the stories? So first figuring that out, what are the stories that you need to tell? And then the next part is, who are you telling them to? You really have to have a sense of your audience. It, you know, it can't be enough to just tell a story into the wind. You have to think about who needs to hear what I have to say. And if the answer is everybody, that can't be the answer. If the answer is everyone needs to hear it, maybe, yes, everyone does need to hear it, but everyone is not going to hear it, right? If your story is about, for example, I'm trying to think of a cause, you know, if it's extending democracy in the world, well, guess what? Probably the leaders of North Korea are not going to necessarily be listening to your podcast, or maybe they'll be listening to it as a because you're a subversive or something. But you're going to be talking most likely to people who are many people will be like-minded. Some people might be on the fence, but at any rate, you're going to talk to people that have some interest in democracy and peace and social justice. So probably North Korea is not going to be your it's not going to be your target audience. So figure that out. Who needs to hear what I have to say? And because that's really, really important. And then you can start to figure out what are the stories that I need to tell. And here's another question that I get all the time is, Doug, how do I find stories? And I'm going to give you right now my best piece of advice about how to find stories, which goes to the heart of what story is. And it comes from a book by a gentleman named Robert McGee. And the name of the book is simply called Story. And again, it's a great book on story. If you ever get a chance to check it out, it's called Story by Robert McGee. And what Robert McGee says, he goes, what is the heart of story? What is the essence of a story? And what he says is that the essence, and particularly of dramatic storytelling, such as films and what we use in plays and TV, the essence of dramatic storytelling is the gap between what a character wants and what they get in the world. And remember I told you that, you know, we all have friends like this. Oh, I got to tell you a story. And you start to run out the door because you don't want to hear it because you know that their story is really not much of a story at all, right? It's just going to be, oh my gosh, it was so busy. And on the way to work, I got stuck in traffic and somebody was beeping at me. And then I got here and then I parked in this parking lot. And then I ate this for breakfast. They're not really telling you a story. They're telling you events. A story doesn't become a story until there's a gap between what you would expect and what actually happens. And I'll give you an example. I use this example sometimes. If I say to you, I have to tell you a story. I was driving to work and I saw there was a red light and I was going a little too fast and I pushed down on the brakes and the car stopped and it came to a stop at the red light. That is not a story, right? There's nothing. It's not even the beginning of a story. Because you're not really interested in that. It's what you would expect to happen. I mean, you're driving. Sometimes we drive too fast. You know, you hit the brakes and you stop at a red light. Not the end of the world, right? But if I tell you that I have to tell you a story. Today, I was on the way to work. I saw the red light. And I hit the brakes all the way to the floor. And the car didn't slow down one iota. And I realized that I was heading right into the middle of an intersection with no brakes. Now, all of a sudden, you might start to lean in and say, well, wait a minute, what happened? You're here, you know, you have all your limbs, you don't seem like you were in a car wreck. How did you do that? And that's when people start to lean in and you get that, that's the beginning of a story. So look for, what you're looking for to when you're telling stories is looking for the gap, looking for that gap between what you would expect and what actually happens. So if you think about, for example, you know, if you had a story, to give the example of homeless people, if you have someone who looks like they look like an absolute, to just to use the term, you know, an absolute bum, right? And they're just, their clothes are tattered and they're in shambles, but you know that actually they may have schizophrenia, but they had a PhD. And you start off, you say, okay, tell your story. And you start off with, you show this person with a scraggly beard and he's covered in dirt. And he says, I'll never forget when I got my PhD. All of a sudden, that starts to be an interesting story, because it makes me wonder how on earth, I mean, here's this person that looks like they look like they, you know, fell out of the gutter, but yet they have a PhD. It's not what I would expect. And so there's that gap there. And as an audience member, I lean in. So look for the unexpected, look for the things, and they don't have to be huge. They don't have to be big things. They can be little things. You know, anything that is, like I said, you know, the unexpected, where what you get is not what you would expect, can be an opportunity to begin to tell a story. Another thing is to simply ask people in your organization. A lot of times what I find is, you know, if you work in an organization, a social change organization, or you have a company or you have some employees, or even if you're a solopreneur, but you have clients, ask the people that you work with for their stories. Engage. You do not have to be the sole storyteller of your organization. In fact, you shouldn't be the sole storyteller of your organization. You should be engaging other people. That's a big part of it. And one of the things that I've heard that I really like is this idea that a story can't change the world, but the process of storytelling can change the world. And every social change organization and every social change person and all of us who want to create change in the world, we should, what I would plant my flag on the ground to say is, we should think of ourselves as storytellers first and foremost. Before anything else, we should be telling stories, because this is the way that we can engage people. And without engagement, you really can't create change. So here's a couple of ideas of how to, let's say that you've identified some stories, you found that gap, we'll do a whole episode about structuring stories, but you know, you found that gap there, and now you're ready to tell your story. And the bigger question is, how do I get anyone to actually listen to me? How do I get anyone to actually hear me and listen to my stories? Well, the first place to start, and I have to admit that I've been definitely someone that has been guilty of this. We often don't start with the people who are our biggest supporters. Start with the people, your biggest fans. We all have them, right? I guarantee you could list off at least four or five people who absolutely love you and would do pretty much anything that you ask them to do. Start with those people. You know, do they have Facebook pages? Do they have social media presence? And ask them to start sharing your stories. Like I said, a lot of times we start going after the people that will resist us the most. You know, I remember I used to have this issue when I was dating, and my sister always laughed at me because she said, you know, Doug, if there's 10 women in a room and 8 of them were interested in you, you would spend all your time trying to convince the 2 that weren't interested in you to go out with you. And I think that has, in, you know, being honest, I think that spilled over, you know, into my social media life, and trying to focus on getting the people who didn't want to share my content to share my content, and overlooking all the people who were already there supporting me. So don't do that. Think about the people who already love you and care about you and really want to support you, and get them to start helping you. And the other thing is that, what do you do about getting people to, what about the vast majority of people? I've always heard this saying that you probably heard this too. You know, one that I love is Dr. Daniel Amen. He says the 20-40-60 rule. He says, you know, when you're 20 years old, you worry about what everyone's thinking of you. When you're 40, you don't care what anyone's thinking of you. And when you're 60, you realize no one's been thinking about you at all. So, you know, people aren't thinking about us nearly as much as we think they are. And so how do we get people who are, let's say, not actively engaged in our cause, right? They might not be opposed to our cause, but they're not actively engaged. How do we get them to hear our stories? And a nice way to do that, and what's great about social media is that it allows people to do this. We can create a platform. If you have a podcast, for example, if you're a social change organization, you have a podcast, invite people to share their story with others, because people, even if they're resistant to hearing your stories at first, people love to hear their own stories and they love to share their own stories. So if we can do that, right, if we can share our own stories, then that's really something that getting people to share their own stories on your platform. Well, what does that do? They, of course, tell their friends, right? They tell their friends, oh my gosh, you got to check me out. I'm doing this. And again, it builds up your platform for your own work, but it also gets people engaged because now they're engaged in the process of storytelling. So that's a nice way to get people involved. The other thing that we can do that is helpful, and people have done this before, is to the other thing is appropriating popular culture. Now, you have to be careful about this because you don't want to get sued, but you can take, for example, people who are interested in a, we definitely live in a society where popular culture is very popular, no pun intended. And so one of the things that you can do is you can think about how could we use people who are interested in Star Wars or Superman or Marvel or the Avengers. How could we possibly utilize some of that interest and truly then bring people in and appropriate that? Now, you have to be careful because, like I said, you don't want to get sued, right? You can't appropriate things from, you can't call your organization, Star Wars organization, unless you really have some serious money or you're the Disney Corporation. But what you could do is you could think about ways in which you can incorporate. There's an organization that does a Harry Potter Alliance. And what they do is they reach people who are Harry Potter fans. And it's like kind of what would Harry Potter do? And these are all the things that Harry Potter would care about. These are, feeding the homeless or helping the poor. What would Harry Potter care about? And it's a nice way to reach people because there's already a big audience of people who are Harry Potter fans, and you can kind of borrow from their engagement in Harry Potter over to their engagement in your organization. So borrowing from pop culture and from popular culture is good. And then, lastly, the thing that I would suggest as well is to really make sure to always be reaching out to bloggers, to influencers. We have a responsibility to nurture and cultivate relationships. And again, storytelling is a great way to do that by, if you reach out to bloggers and influencers and you tell their story or you help them to tell their story, because no matter how big an influencer is, this is one of the things that I've learned, no matter how big an influencer is, no matter how much they have, they still need help in getting their message out in a broader way. And you, right, if you have some type of platform, you can help them to get their message out. And again, it develops that relationship, that deeper relationship and engagement. So think about who are the biggest influencers, bloggers, writers, speakers in the area that you're in, and how could you help them tell their story? How could you help them share their story? If you ask yourself that question, just that alone is going to put you on a road to really beginning to get your message out and your story out in a bigger way. So I think one of the things that you can see, I hope, is this idea of storytelling is collaborative, right? Storytelling isn't just, I'm not talking about storytelling just as I'm going to be doing all the talking and everyone else is going to be doing all the listening, even though that's what I've been doing today. Although certainly we're going to have more guests on and we're going to have more dialogue. But what I'm talking about really is creating a platform for collective storytelling that builds community and that allows people to really share their story with the people who need to hear it most. And in doing that, ironically, that will help you to get your own stories out. And as we share these stories of transformation, as we share these stories of what's possible, because so many times in the media, we have only the same. It's basically if you go to CNN or USA Today, this is what I love about Empower Radio. There's usually only the same five or six depressing stories. And you can go to Empower Radio and you can hear all these great stories of people who are doing amazing things in the world and making the world a better place. So the world truly does need all of these voices, and it needs us to share our stories. And it really, it may take a little bit of time, but I guarantee you that if you do this, it will work. It will work over time, and you will change hearts and minds, and you will change the world. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This has been another episode. Until next time, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.